We'll be reading today from 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning in verse 11 and reading down through verse 15. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Now, Paul in this section is talking about widows, and he says that there are some widows who face the tragedy of losing their husband, and they draw closer to God. They become even more faithful to God and more active in the church. But there are some widows, especially, he says, some of the younger widows in his day, that lost their husbands, of course, and then they turned away from God instead of turning to Him. And Paul gives some description of these young widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and this shows that people handle tragedies and trials in life differently, and it's an individual choice. So let's look beginning in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Timothy 5, verse 11 says, "But the younger widows refuse." And he's talking about refusing them from the enrollment into this special group of widows who serve the church in some very special ways. He's not saying to refuse the younger widows from the church. He's not saying that they cannot be in the church even if they desire to. He's talking about that enrollment that he just mentioned in the two previous verses. So he says, don't let them into this group of special widows who have this supervision of these works that Paul talks about. He said, don't put them into that list because when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. Now, to wax wanton here comes from one word in the original, which means to feel the impulses of sexual desire. That's what these young women were wrestling with. And they gave in to those impulses. They gave in to those desires, and they turned against Jesus. Now, the feelings of desire were not wrong in themselves. It was what they were doing with those desires. It was the fact that those desires were against Christ. Notice that he says, when they have begun to wax wanton, that is, feel these sexual desires or impulses, and they felt them and they reacted to them against Jesus and against Jesus' will. Then he goes on to say that when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. And again, getting married is not wrong in itself. As a matter of fact, Paul recommends in verse 14 that these younger women marry. Well, what was the problem here in verse 11 then when he talks about these younger widows getting married? Well, the problem was that these young widows felt these desires and they thought that they just had to have a man. They thought that they just had to have a husband. And in the process, they fell away from the Lord. Again, there's nothing wrong with the desire itself or with getting married. As a matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 9, that it's better to marry than to burn, that is, to burn with desire. But when that is more important than staying faithful to Christ, then there's a heart problem. So this verse shows that it's not just men, but some women who have trouble restraining these kinds of desire. These young widows that Paul is describing left the faith. In verse 12, he said, having damnation. That is, these young widows had damnation. Now remember, what Paul said in verse 6 about some of these widows was this, but she that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. That's what some of these widows were doing. They were living in pleasure. And he says now that they had damnation, the condemnation of God. They were under the condemnation or the damnation of God. They were lost in sin. Why? All because they wanted a husband at all cost, even if it meant giving up the Lord in the process. He says they had damnation for this reason. If we ask the question, why is it that they were under condemnation? Why is it that they were damned in the sight of God? Paul answers in verse 12, because they have cast off their first faith. Their first faith was the faith that they had when they were baptized. It's the faith that they had when they became Christians. It was the faith that they had after they had been baptized up to a certain point. They had a live faith, a true faith, a sincere faith. but now they have a dead faith. And it's absolutely clear that these women went from being saved to being lost. Because when they cast off their first faith, which actually put them in a saved condition in the sight of God, now, without that faith, they're lost. So in verse 13, Paul describes the character of these young women. And it's tragic. It's a sad picture. And Paul now shows why these young widows were not dependable enough to put into this role of widows who served the church in this special capacity. So in verse 13, let's read. Paul says, "And withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." What were these younger widows doing? That's what Paul describes. He says that they learned to be idle. That was their habit of mind. That was their way of life. A person can learn to be industrious, or he can learn to be idle. A young woman can keep herself busy, or she can choose to be lazy. Now compare this to what Paul has said about some of these other widows. Remember in verse 5 of this chapter? Look back at verse 5. He talks about a widow indeed who is desolate and trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. She keeps herself busy praying to God and seeking God. But these young widows were lazy. They were idle. And Paul says that they were wandering about from house to house. They should have been busy in their own house. Paul says in Titus chapter 2, verse 5, that young women are to be keepers at home. And that literally means taking care of the house. But these young widows didn't stay home long enough to take care of the house. They were in everybody else's house. The Bible says that they were wandering about from house to house. They were aimless. They had no direction, no purpose to their life, and they had no plan for their time. Now, people that just live an aimless life are bound to get into trouble. What is the old saying? An idle mind is the devil's workshop. Well, these people got into the devil's workshop, all right. These young women got into trouble. Paul says that they were not only idle, but they were tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. The word tattler here means to indulge in empty and foolish talk. It means that they were uttering or doing silly things, such as babbling and foolish trifling. That's what these young women were doing. This is how these young women were talking. Now, it's good to spend some time joking and having fun, but these young women didn't do anything else but talk silly. Have you ever seen a young woman or an older woman who didn't do anything else but talk about something silly and trifling and foolish? Well, that's the kind of woman that Paul is talking about here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. They were tattlers, and he says that they were busybodies. That means that they got into everybody else's business. Because they were not busy with their own lives, they were into everybody else's business. And so in verse 13, to summarize what Paul has talked about here, Paul says that these young women were lazy, they would not work at home, then they got into everybody else's affairs by going about from one house to another. They spread gossip, and they talked about silly and foolish things. There were young women like that in the first century, and there are young women who are like that today. Now, what Paul does next is to tell Timothy what he is to teach and how he is to teach those young women. In verse 14, Paul tells Timothy what to tell these young women to do. He says, "I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." First of all, Paul says, "I want and I advise the young women to marry." Somebody says, "Well, didn't these young women that he's talking about get married?" Yes, they did. In verse 11, he said they will marry. But they didn't do the rest of what Paul said. Because in verse 14, Paul says not only for them to get married, but to be responsible, to be industrious, to work in the home, and to give attention to their family instead of getting into everybody else's business, instead of going around from house to house and talking about foolishness and silliness, he says they need to do something positive and productive with their lives. Paul says, I will, that is, I desire, I want the young women to get married. The context here is different from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 6 through 9, Paul said that he wished that everybody were like him, that is, single. But he said that because of the distress, the present distress, the trials and the tribulations that he describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 26. Because of that temporary situation, Paul said it would be better to hold off on getting married at that time. But he said, if you don't take his advice in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and you choose to get married, then that's not a sin. But the circumstances are different in 1 Corinthians 7 than what we're reading here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. So Paul says, I want the younger women to marry. And then he said, I want them to bear children. Remember back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul said, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Now here he says that he wants these younger women to marry. It may be surprising, but the most detailed sections of the New Testament on the role of young women were written to young men, Timothy and Titus. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, here in 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, and in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, Paul goes into detail about the responsibilities and the role of young women. So Paul tells these two young preachers, Timothy and Titus, to teach the older women, to teach the younger women, and also to spend some time instructing these younger women about what God's will is for their lives. Paul says, I want the young women to marry, to bear children, to guide the house. Now, this comes from a word which means to rule a household, to manage family affairs. Since the husband is out of the house and she is home more than he is, she is to manage that home. She is to give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. That is, she is to give no opportunity for the enemy, that is, for Satan and his people, to reproach her. Now, they do that enough anyway. Satan and his people reproach or criticize Christians enough as it is. But what Paul is saying is, don't give them any grounds for criticizing you. Don't say anything wrong or do anything wrong to give them an opportunity to criticize the church and to criticize you. And then in verse 15, Paul says, for some are already turned aside after Satan. That is, some of these young women are already turned aside after Satan. And of course, that just expands on what he's already said in verses 11 and 12. So this is just one more passage in this book on falling from grace. And then in verse 16, Paul concludes this section on widows by saying, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Let those family members, those relatives, take care of those widows, and let not the church be charged, that is, charged with the responsibility of taking care of them, because the family needs to do that first. And this is to be done so that it, that is, the church, may relieve them that are widows indeed, that is, widows who don't have any family members to help them out. So this verse ends this section on widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and beginning in verse 17 in the next section, we're going to see what Paul says about the work of elders in the church.